Blog Talk Radio.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, Father, to come forward and to open my heart and mind to be receptive to this, your word, Father, so that I can grow in faith, in truth, in knowledge, and walk closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and in your word according to your will and your way. Now, Father, I've asked this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Last evening, we had just gotten into of Galatians. We made it through the 10th verse. I'm going to pick up there with this 10th verse because it's going to lead us into our rest of our study this morning. We'll finish up with chapter 1. I'm not sure whether the Lord will lead us into chapter 2 or not, but we'll see what he has for us and where he'll take us. Okay. Here in the 10th verse says, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of thee is not after men. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, there in 10, he starts that out with 4. He explains the harsh language of verses 3 through 9. If Paul were to persuade men, or to seek to please them by preaching a false gospel that they would want to hear, he should not be the servant of Christ. Now, here in verse 11 and 12, he says, but I certify you, brother, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after men. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul implied that his gospel is not the only true one. That's not what he's talking about. But the message he preaches is the yardstick by which all others are to be measured. And the reason for this is that his gospel is human, neither in nature nor after man, nor in origin. He tells us, I neither received it of man. The apostle's gospel is genuine because he received it directly from the risen Lord. He let us know that because he said that he was taught it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. We know that so because as we studied coming this far, we know when, where, and how he met the Savior, what it cost him, what he went through, and then how he was called to be the apostle to the Gentile people. Now, 13. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. He's talking about when he says my conversation in time past, he's actually talking about his former conduct. Now, verse 14, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my elders or my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. And there in 14, he's letting us know that this verse could be translated, I was progressing in Judaism ahead of many contemporaries in his nation because I was far more zealous for my ancestral traditions. But you see, that's what actually came along with the law, the Mosaic law, was a lot of traditions and things they had to keep, which most wasn't really keeping, but anyway, it was a tradition. And that's what he's speaking about there in 14. In 15, he says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and call me by his grace. 16. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Since Paul's conversion to Christianity was due to God and not man, and since he was and did not consult with men, subsequently, to Christianity was due to God and not man, and since he did not consult with men, subsequently to his conversion, then the apostle could not possibly have received the gospel from any but the Lord. And to reveal his son in him, and the divine disclosure to man of the person and work of Christ is the essence of the gospel. You see, that's what the gospel is about. It's about you and I sharing and expressing the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ with others that may have never heard about him or know very little of him. And some that know of him, but they still have the doubts of needing to go to him. That is what Satan causes among mankind. That's what he's all out there for. You see, that's why the gospel and the words that we will teach, if they are the truth of the word, then they carry authority with them. And that authority will work on those that hear what we are saying. 17. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Now, we know that following his Damascus road conversion, Paul made no trip to Jerusalem where the apostles were, but spent approximately 3 years in Arabia. And it is implied that he conferred with God there. During these 3 years, he was not taught by man. 18. He tells us, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. When Paul did first go to Jerusalem as a Christian, the purpose of his visit was to see Peter. And the verb to see means to get to know. Paul's purpose then was to become acquainted with Peter, not to be instructed by him, but to know him, because naturally he had heard about him. 19. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. 20. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. 21. After I came to the region of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face to the churches of Judea which were in Christ. And you see, 23 says, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. Now we know that Paul done exactly that. Paul apparently spent about 14 years in the regions of Syria and Cilicia. During this period, he preached the faith which once he destroyed. Because of his absence from Jerusalem, he was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea. And throughout this lengthy evangelistic activity in the north, Paul was too far removed from the apostles in Jerusalem to have received any instruction from them. Had he been a student of theirs at this time, he would have doubtlessly worked in and been personally known by the Judean church. But not only was he not instructed by them, but also it took a while for them to begin to trust him as an apostle. And then Peter and a couple of others is the ones that did help to bring about them recognizing Paul as being a true child of God and a true apostle. And that was because of the way that he did treat the churches. Now, we have finished there with chapter 2, all except for six little words. Those six words are here in the 24th verse, and they glorified God in me. But it took a period of time before they would and did. Now, so Paul didn't learn from them, and he told us all that. But we're going to go into 2 here for just a few minutes. We're not going to get all the way through it because 2 is 21 verses long. There is a lot in it. Verse 1. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Now you see, Paul's second trip to Jerusalem came 14 years after his first visit, when he had met Peter. And two important figures accompanied him on this occasion, and that was Barnabas and Titus. Now there in verse 2, the reason for this second trip was by him to go. God foresaw the necessity for this consultation with the apostles in Jerusalem. And Paul communicated to the apostles, and the Greek word rendered communicated means for something to another party for his opinion of it. So Paul privately sought the judgment of them which were of reputation. And the Jerusalem apostles, regarding the gospel he had been proclaiming for 14 years, why did Paul seek the apostles' opinion? He had no doubt as to the validity of his gospel, for he had received it directly from Christ. So his consultation with John, James, and Peter was not to ascertain whether his gospel was correct. Rather, it was to obtain their approval of the way he was being, the way he was bringing Gentiles into the church. They were admitted without circumcision on the basis of their faith in Christ apart from the apostles' consent. And Paul ministry among the heathen would be hindered, and he would run in vain. And this is why he even went. But you see, he knew the gospel he's preaching was right. He didn't go there for that. But he is bringing Gentiles in. They are not circumcised. That's what the Judaizers following him is giving him a lot of trouble over. Tell them that even following what Paul was teaching, they would still have to be circumcised. No, they didn't. That decision was made by God himself when he called Paul to become the apostle to them. Now, 3. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Now, Titus is another, he's a Greek, which made him a Gentile, as far as the Jews are concerned. And he was not circumcised either. And he's traveling with Paul. Now, we know that verses 3 through 9 here, with me being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. 4. And then because a false brother, unaware, brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. You see, Peter's ministry was mainly to the Jews. Peter does very little, really, among the Gentiles. His ministry is mainly to the Jews, his own people. 8. For he that wrought effectually in Peter through the apostleship of the circumcision, same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. In other words, God's in both of them. They have the same God. That they can't be claiming different gods. There's only one. And the same is in both. 9. And with James, Cephas, John, who seemed to be pillars, received the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, they unto the circumcision. In other words, they're giving them the right hand of fellowship so that they can go on to the Gentiles or the heathen and themselves must preach the gospel among the circumcision or the Jews. Now, you know, when we look at those verses I just read, those verses reveal the outcome of Paul's submission of his gospel to the apostles for their opinion, and that they acknowledge his gospel to be genuine and to be the same gospel that they preach is seen in three ways. 1. Circumcision was not required of the uncircumcised. In Titus, had Paul's gospel been lacking in this respect, Titus would have been circumcised. And 2. The Jerusalem apostles, they who seemed to be somewhat in confidence, added nothing to Paul. That is, they found nothing lacking in his gospel so as to require the addition of something like circumcision. There's no reason to add it. 3. The apostles gave to me and Barnabas, or Barabbas, the right hand of fellowship in antiquity. And the giving of the right hand was a sign of agreement made between them. And the Jerusalem apostles viewed Paul and Barnabas as partners in the gospel ministry. The apostles would never have done this had they looked upon Paul's gospel as erroneous. You see, there came that time that even those that was to preach to the circumcision, which was the Jewish people, accepted that the Gentiles did not have to be circumcised. You know, but there was those there in verse 4, and that because of false brethren unaware brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. You see, they smuggled in these false brethren against Paul because they were there and tried to get Titus circumcised. And these unbelievers came in actually privately. They sneaked in these Christian churches. And their purpose was to spy out and carefully examine the believers' liberty or freedom from the Mosaic law. And the ultimate aim of this spying was to bring the Christian into bondage by trying and tying them up with all the rules and regulations of Judaism. Think about that. We know they followed Paul many, many years, trying to tear down everything he would teach and bring the people back under the bondage of the law and being circumcised. I have stopped there with verse 9. I'm going to read 10, and then we're going to close with this verse 10. We'll be picking up again this evening here. Verse 10 says, only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. We know that Paul did. Paul even had his churches that he had founded in all through all these nations, collecting for the saints at Jerusalem church, because they were in need. So let us stop here and go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, and we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for the times that we can come together to share your word with each other. And sometimes we wonder, Father, why it is that they hold off and not attend studies and things and come up with excuses that they come up with. But Father, we love them all. We love all of mankind. The sins that they commit and the things they do wrong, we don't love, but we love that person. We want to see them find the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him so that they can make heaven their home. Father, be with us now throughout this day. Keep us all in health and safety. And bring us back together again this evening at 6 p.m. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a good one. Bye-bye now.